The Night Interns, written by Austin Duffy and read by Paul Nugent. Her face, we agreed, could only be described as serene. There were no lines on it. The tightness of pain was gone. Her worried eyes were now closed. None of us had wanted to enter the room in the first place.
"She's chain-stoking,"
the nurse told us as we stood outside it. Linda was annoyed that they'd called us at all.
"I mean, what did they expect us to do about it?"
She pushed past Stuart and me and opened the door. We had no choice but to follow her into the room. Sure enough, the woman's breathing had entered that unnatural rhythm. Up until then, we'd only read about it. But here it was, happening right in front of us, pre-death in all its glory. It was louder than we would have imagined. A slow but very deep grunting, like a beached sea creature drowning in oxygen. Not very human, frankly. Even Linda was taken aback. For a few seconds, the three of us stood looking at the woman from the bottom of the bed. Her face was a perfect mask, already far gone. But the chest didn't know it yet, and was heaving away of its own accord. It was as if her disguise had been removed, the body stripped to reveal the alien presence at its core, what all along had been propelling it. The family were spread around the periphery of the room. They were watching us, and it felt like we should do something, or at least say something to them. But there we stood, as lost as they were. Finally, Linda stepped forward, uncoiling her stethoscope. She listened to the woman's lungs and looked into her mouth with her pen torch. It was no easy thing to pry open her jaws. Linda's confidence amazed us. Afterwards, we asked her what she'd seen, and she said, "Nothing, of course, just blackness." She said something to the nurse and then to the woman's family about trying to make her more comfortable, and they seemed okay with that. It was a relief when somehow the door opened behind us and we backed out of the room, Stuart and I bowing like geishas. Linda's pager went off, and we followed her to the nurse's station while she answered it.
"The food's here,"
she said, putting down the phone. The nurses had a few more jobs for us, nothing major, just charting stuff. We did whatever they asked, and when we finished, Linda told them not to call us again unless it was absolutely necessary. We left the ward and headed to the stairwell by Sir Patrick Dunn's ward that would take us down to the ground floor. From there, we would make our way back to the res.
"This is why we need to divide up the night," Linda said.
She looked at me, and then back at Stuart, who had fallen a few steps behind.
"I mean it," she said. "There was no need for the three of us to be standing there gawping at that poor woman."
Neither Stuart or I said anything, and Linda's words were left to hang. The stairwell brought us down two flights, and we emerged into the radiology department. It was always so eerie to go through radiology at this hour. The waiting area was completely empty, a grill pulled down over the reception area where the secretaries sat during opening hours.